Welcome to Addressing Alaskans, where we feature community conversations around South Central Alaska. Join us on Alaska Public Media as we travel throughout our community and listen to local groups discuss what matters to them. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Ammon Swenson. Today's program features an Anchorage mayoral candidate forum presented by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's Make It Monday forums. This event was recorded via live stream on February 26th from the Denina Center and was edited for broadcast length. And a couple of quick notes. Bill Popp is a former chair for Alaska Public Media's board of directors, and there are several times that the audio feed drops out momentarily, but candidates did provide the Chamber of Commerce with written answers. We'll have links to those and the Chamber's video on the Addressing Alaskans page.
Welcome to the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's Make It Monday Forum. My name is Sky Nevada, managing partner of The Bridge Co., co-chair of the Municipal Activity Committee, and member of Anchorage Chamber. Now I'd like to give each candidate 1 minute to introduce themselves. We're going to just go straight down the line here, starting with David Bronson.
Well, thanks to the Chamber and Sky, thank you for hosting this event. We really appreciate this opportunity. My name is Dave Bronson. I'm the current mayor of Anchorage, Alaska. I've been in the city for 33 years. I came up with my wife in 1991. She followed a couple months after me. I came up for a commercial airline career that was supposed to last 2 years. I'm now here 33 plus, and so I flunked public math in that regard. We've raised two kids here. I've got a son who's a pilot for Alaska Airlines, a daughter who's a PhD in biochemistry down at the University of Arkansas. Obviously, they got the brains of their mother, not their father, so they're doing very well. I love this city. I think we've got a great deal to offer our young kids, and but we have some challenges that we have to meet going forward, but I think all together, working together, we can do just that.
Thank you, Mayor Bronson. Brock?
Hi, thanks. Thanks, Skyler, and thanks to the Chamber for hosting today's event. Thank you, Mayor. My name is Brett Craig. I'm running for mayor. I'm a citizen candidate, moderate, independent. My wife and I have been here for about 14 years, moved up in 2013 from Colorado. We were in Africa before that, laying fiber optic cables. We absolutely love the city, and we just feel really proud to be here. I'm running because I think I can do a better job. And I think I have some visions that I don't see articulated very well. And I'm not very happy with some things that have been going on in the city lately, like a lot of people. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Dustin.
Hello. Well, thank you for coming out this afternoon. My name is Dustin Thomas House Darden. My middle name, Thomas House, is I'm named after my grandfather. And House is my from my mom's side of the family, which is in Arkansas. My grandmother, Verma Sue Etheridge, she's getting ready to go see Jesus. So I was just talking to her last night, and I was telling Suzanne LaFrance here today, it changes the perspective when you start losing people you love or they're starting getting ready to go. And my thing is, like, I just want to love people. I just want to tell people about loving people and loving Jesus and getting right with in their hearts before they go. Because, you know, we could have all kinds of calamities, or we could walk outside and, that, you know, we get bit by some spider or scorpion. So it's just, my thing is just love people. You know, I worked on this building back when it was being constructed from the ground up. I did the foundations on the whole west side. Oh, I'm done.
Thanks, Dustin. Jenny.
Thank you, everyone, for being here this afternoon. And thanks to the Chamber. I'm a proud 10-year member of the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce. My name is Jenny DeGrappa, and I was born and raised in Alaska. Growing up helping my mom train for the Iditarod and Yukon Quest, I have committed the past 18 years of my life to civic and nonprofit organizations, raising over $35 million to support charitable programs. I received my master's degree in public administration from the University of Alaska Southeast and my bachelor's in environmental science from the University of Alaska Anchorage. I currently serve as an honorary commander on J-Bear, among many other additional opportunities, the Anchorage Coalition to End Homelessness, the Better Business Bureau, Alaska Ski for Women Assistant Director, and also and on the Thread Board for Childcare. I'm running today, and I'm running this year to both represent women, to represent millennials, which are almost 75% of the Anchorage workforce, and to utilize my 18 years of civic experience to make a change immediate, effective, and lasting for our community. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Phil.
My name's Phil Isley, and I'm here to get your vote. The reason I'm running is because when I looked at the other candidates, I didn't see anybody there that would specifically change the direction that the city's going. I'm not happy with the direction that the city's going, so I thought I would offer you an alternative. Being partisan, most of you won't vote for me because you will vote down your party lines, and you feel that since I'm not affiliated with anybody, I don't have a chance. But actually, that gives me an advantage, if you think about it, because I'm not for any particular party. I'm here to represent you, and I think I could do a good job representing you. So I would like you to think outside the box and go ahead and think about voting for Phil Eisley. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. Suzanne.
Thank you all for being here today. I'm Suzanne LaFrance, and I'm running for mayor. As I've thought about running for this office, I've thought about two things. First, how do we restore basic trust and competence to City Hall? And at the same time, how do we build a future for our community beyond that? I know we can do both. We can clear the snow from our streets and make sure those same streets are safe and welcoming, home to more housing and strong businesses. It starts with the basics. That means restoring competence to City Hall and staffing up departments to provide better services for your tax dollars. But we can't stop there, and we don't want to stop there. As mayor, I'll be focused on making sure our streets and trails are safe for everyone and making Anchorage a place you're proud to live, work, raise a family, and grow a business. I have 25 years in the private sector managing people, projects, and budgets. I've served two terms on the assembly. I know how our local government works, and I know how to make it work better. I'm invested in this community and in a better future for Anchorage. Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. Bill.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's so good to see everybody here today with an interest in this most important race for our city. I'm Bill Popp. I'm running for mayor of Anchorage. I moved here in 19. My dad, when he was transferred here in the Air Force, married my wife here in Anchorage in 1979. We have two kids. And now I have two grandkids living here in Anchorage. We've got an extended family that holds 20 in the room if we all get together, and three generations of Alaskan born. We are invested in Anchorage. I jumped into this race because I see a lot of things that I think could be done better, and my focus is going to be on stabilizing our government, bringing together an alliance of homeless service providers to get a comprehensive solution together on homelessness, and to have a meaningful conversation with the community about where we want to be in 10 years. What is it that we want our city to be for our kids, our grandkids, and for our future? I hope you'll join me and vote for me in the April 2nd election.
Thanks, Bill. And Chris.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Growing up, I always knew I was going to raise a family here in Anchorage. I'm a product of the Anchorage School District school system, graduated from Diamond High, and I have two children, Devin and Penelope. But unfortunately, Anchorage isn't what it used to be. Our economy is shrinking and our homeless population is growing. And too many people are leaving because we simply do not have enough job opportunities or education opportunities. I want to make Anchorage a place where ideas and innovation flourish, education is the highest quality. As a result, the economy thrives and jobs are rewarding. I have over 20 years of public service. And fortunately, I have been placed in positions to demonstrate and to prove my leadership skills. I was the treasurer of the Anchorage School Board, and I was the minority leader in the state house. As a matter of fact, during those years, I was the chief negotiator, the main negotiator of the FY 2016 and 2017 budgets. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, now we're really going to jump into it. Each candidate has been given 45 seconds to answer. I'm going to start down the line first, but then after that, I'll probably popcorn. So make sure you guys are listening for your names. What steps will you take to ensure that Anchorage remains competitive regionally and globally in terms of business attractiveness and investment opportunities? Dave?
We have three major threats facing our city at this time. One is the Port of Alaska, which we've made great progress on dealing with. The modernization program is back on track. And we should have food security at the port roughly first quarter of 2028. The other issue is housing. One of the other issues is housing. And we're in the midst of some significant Title 21 and Title 23 rewrites, as well as commercial third-party review process, which is essential. We have it in residential. We should have it in commercial. The other thing facing us is Cook Inlet natural gas. That is going to be a real challenge. I created a mayor's task force, not unlike the 2009 task force, to deal with that issue.
Thanks, Dave. Breck.
Thanks. From my point of view as a technology consultant, I would like to see, my vision is that we build a new technology city, a green information city in Anchorage. I think we need to expand our concept of what Anchorage is into the Anchorage, Matsu, Borough, kind of metropolitan area, expand, build the Nick Arm Bridge, open up all that land over in Port McKenzie area to development. And we just need to think bigger. We're just not thinking big enough. We could be a world-class city, but we just aren't thinking big enough. And the fact that we're running out of natural gas is an embarrassment, in my opinion, that, you know, we need to solve as quickly as possible.
Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, we have a tremendous opportunity here in Anchorage to be a beacon of light and hope. I mean, we can do better than Florida. We can do better than Texas. I mean, I'm reminded of a biblical verse that says, take and possess the land. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual. And they have the ability to not only take land, but to possess it with love and truth. So any kind of, you know, dark forces, I think we can make executive orders and do things that impress other states to do the same.
Jenny, while I wish we had exciting opportunities, that our community is faced with significant challenges that include childcare, housing, and unaffordable healthcare. Childcare and the lack of access and affordability is preventing Alaskans and thousands of Anchorage residents from joining the workforce, from being effective in this workforce, and from allowing our community to thrive. Additionally, at the same time, the housing crisis that we have is equally a challenge that we face. Our low to middle income residents are not able to afford increasing rents, are not able to afford a home. And last, I want to say that healthcare is probably equally a greater challenge. Thank you.
Phil.
I think the single biggest thing that we could do to encourage business here is to reduce our taxes. Our basic property tax is fairly high, but if you look at all the hidden taxes, if I can go to the Valley and pay $3.13 for gas, and it's $3.89 or $3.69 here, that's a problem. A lot of the way that we do business is tied up in government red tape, and we should find a way to streamline that for business, because a lot of our businesses has moved to the Valley, and the Valley's growing and we're shrinking in size. It's time that we started getting our government under control and providing incentives for business to be here.
Thanks, Phil. Suzanne.
Outmigration of working families and young people is perhaps the greatest threat to our economy and our community. We've got the jobs, but we don't have the people. And Alaskan and mom of three, concerning to me. We've got to get the basics right. It comes down to quality of life and affordability. So we need to, which is a place where people want to live. And again, it comes down to the basics, ensuring that the streets are plowed and that those services everyone relies upon are provided. It also means investing in housing that young people, so that young people can break into the housing market, and encouraging in addressing childcare issues so that quality childcare is available to families and doesn't break the bank. And it also means investing in a vibrant community, including our world-class trails. Thank you.
Thanks, Suzanne. Bill.
Bottom line, without workers to fill the jobs, investment will not come here. Companies are looking to invest in communities that have a growing and vibrant workforce with the skill sets that they need. And right now, we are going the opposite direction, losing 1 out of 10 working age adults that we had just 10 years ago. Critical issue of our time. There are any number of tactics that need to be addressed. Yes, we need to get natural gas and energy situation fixed. Housing, healthcare, childcare, schools, education, all of these things come down to being focused on how we attract and retain workforce that we grow locally. And that has to be the ultimate goal, is to get our population moving in the right direction towards Anchorage and not running away from it.
Thanks, Bill. Chris.
Thank you very much. We basically need to promote a strong, healthy economy, a growing one. And a key to a strong economy, of course, is education, from pre-K all the way up through our university, job training, and workforce development. Another key component of that is affordable, reliable energy. We need that infrastructure in place because businesses aren't going to develop here or start here unless we have that reliable, affordable energy. And then with all that, with that growing healthy economy, then we have the fruits of having all sorts of activities and all sorts of other items that will attract people here to where they too would want to raise and grow their family.
Thanks, Chris. How will you navigate the balance between promoting economic growth and preserving the natural environment and cultural heritage of Anchorage? I'm going to start with Jenny.
Anchorage was home to the Dena'ina people long before the term economic growth. I will ensure that Alaska Native peoples, communities, and organizations have an equal voice in the conversations about the future of Anchorage. These are sometimes one and the same, for example, when we look at opportunities with cultural tourism. Overall, Anchorage residents highly value our cultural and natural resources, and we need to really against more measurable successes like economic growth. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Bill.
There are several lands that are set aside in Anchorage that are just not to be developed, and they maintain wildlife there. We have trails and stuff that will stay in there, and I think that we should keep those in place. The other thing is land that can be developed. We should look at developing, and the only way to do that would be to reduce the cost of development. And they talk about housing, and I was the president of the Spinard Community Council, and they wanted to put 700 units there. And basically the community council, because they didn't want that many units in their neighborhood. So we need to look at development. We need to think about that.
Thanks, Bill. Breck.
That's a great question. I think all development needs to be holistically, approached from a holistic standpoint. If we're going to develop, we need housing for sure. If we're going to develop housing, we need to make sure we've got the proper trail and greenbelt and other infrastructure and recreation areas designed right into it. And that goes back to having a larger vision for what we want to see with this city. And, you know, our natural resources and our trail systems are a jewel in this city. And we don't want to do anything to, you know, mess that up. We only want to enhance it. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett. Chris.
Yes, Anchorage is a mosaic of all sorts of different cultures. We have different ambitions and different histories that go along with that. I will work with civic leaders in bringing people together and have a shared vision. I have my vision for Anchorage, but if we make it our vision, we all know how we can participate, what role we're going to do, and there's more accountability, and we share in the successes in that. And we got to make sure our education system also is equal opportunities for all so that we all can reap in those benefits when we make it happen. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Bill.
Well, it's going to be about collaboration. And I think we've already demonstrated decades worth of collaboration in accessing the natural beauty of our region. I mean, you just don't find a city like Anchorage in that many other places on the planet the way that it has such immediate access to the nature that we all love and enjoy. And I think that the collaboration piece is going to be critical on that, and that the community is always going to be a defender of those things that we value. And government has to clearly understand what the community values and what it wants to protect in the process of development, which does need to happen in our city. We've got tons of economic opportunity landing on our doorstep right now. We've got more jobs than we know what to do with. We do need to develop our community further, but we do have to do that in balance with the things that we know and love.
Thanks, Bill. Suzanne.
You know, I think economic growth and preservation of our natural spaces and cultural heritage go hand in hand. We can do both. And we see that with the Dena'ina, the Place Names Project, which honors Dena'ina tradition and history and also creates a more robust experience for visitors and for residents alike. We can see how the Alaska Native corporations and Alaska Native-run organizations employ many folks in Anchorage and also help drive our economy. As mayor, I'll be focused on using that strong foundation and working with partners to grow our economy.
Thanks, Suzanne. Dave.
Thanks. Economic development and cultural heritages are not mutually exclusive. In fact, they're mutually supportive. That's why I've spent $25,000 on a feasibility study to bring the Alaska Native Heritage Center back to downtown or to downtown where it always should have been. Our tourists to experience cultural tourism should not have to get on a bus and drive 5 or 6 miles to experience that. They want to spend the money downtown. So this feasibility study to the tune of $25,000 is to bring that Heritage Center footprint to the Egan Center. That's an underutilized facility, and I think it could really accentuate tourism downtown and give our tourists what they ask for.
Thanks, Dave. Dustin.
Teamwork makes the dream work. I'm sitting here on a table with a pilot, Dave Brunson. We got Suzanne LaFrance. She's got experience in the assembly. I see some assembly members in the audience. And then we got Chris Tuck, an electrician. It's going to take love in a community to build it. My sister, Elizabeth Darden, she's working with Hope 989. That's how long George Floyd was set on before he died. And they're down in Harrison, Arkansas. The founding of the Ku Klux Klan is now working on involving all different races and kind of have affordable housing and employment. So with that, and then I'm almost out of time. I got a lot more to say. If I got to go early, it's because I got my school bus route and I got to take the kids home from school. But I hope I get a couple more questions in.
Thanks, Dustin. How will you address infrastructure needs to support business growth, such as transportation networks, broadband access, and utilities? Let's start with Chris.
Well, the first thing I would do is making sure that our streets get plowed, because that's the veins and vessels of our economy right there, is making sure that we have adequate transportation. Also, I mentioned earlier, reliable energy. We need to have reliable energy. That's a key component. Fortunately, we're going to have about $2 billion coming in the state of Alaska for broadband. That's another huge, major piece of infrastructure that to keep our businesses thriving and keep us on first rate. And then we also, you know, it's through technology that we save the planet, so that the more that we can advance new technologies, the better that we will be. And, of course, the Port of Anchorage. We've got to make sure that we have a stable port. The cheapest mode of transportation is still water. And we got that rail system right there. That's the cheapest mode of transportation on land. Thank you.
I'm actually going to go down the line this time. We'll go with Bill.
We've got to take to our utilities and look at turning them more into entities focused not only on supporting the needs that they are servicing, whether it's water and sewer, gas, electric, et cetera, but also focused on how they can grow the economy, how their systems are designed, and how we are investing in these systems to expand projects as opposed to being deal killers in some cases. We need to focus on our transportation system. I would agree that plowing is kind of a high priority this winter and probably will be for winters to come. But our people mover system also needs a full review. And we need to take a long, hard look at how we can make that system better for our low income and our general citizenry to make use of in a more effective way.
Thanks, Bill. Suzanne.
A strong infrastructure is critical to a strong economy and a thriving community. Local government needs to do its job so all of you can do your jobs. And that means shoring up the port, plowing the streets, and working with utilities. As mayor, I will be focused on addressing our current challenges with infrastructure and also looking ahead to those next challenges, like with our storm drainage system. I'll also be a champion for Anchorage. We are seeing unprecedented amounts of federal infrastructure funding right now. And I'll work with our state and federal delegation to ensure that Anchorage has the best chance of bringing money here to strengthen our infrastructure.
Thank you, Suzanne. Phil.
So I think the biggest thing that we need to do is work on the port. The second thing is to work on our road system and make it more viable. It should branch out so it's easy to get from either the airport or the port onto a major highway going north or south. The other thing is we have to work with the airport and keep them going, because they account for, I think, almost a tenth of the jobs in the city right now. So that would be my primary focus.
Thanks, Bill. Jenny?
So in addition to what has already been said, I think it's not lost on any of us that we need people to run this infrastructure. And the first priority that I would have, or one of the top priorities I would have, would be to make sure that we fill those vacant positions. We need to focus on those immediate needs like street maintenance and permitting for anyone who's had a permit held up in recent months and years. So to me, those two are key We need to utilize opportunity to attract and retain the employees. I believe our vacancy rate is 30 to 60% in some departments. And so again, people are needed and are critical in order to run the infrastructure to support our city. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Dustin.
So I think we can use creative approaches. And one of them is utilizing the justice system. I was just talking to Mr. Bronson here, and we got a case that's going before the United States Supreme Court that we've incorporated into our municipality and state. And it's impressive. The courts are impressive in what we can do to utilize these. I'm involved in a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals myself, Darden v. Crowd Management Service. I just wrote my opening brief. I also have a Superior Court case that I just defeated the defense in a motion to dismiss based on parallel litigation. There's all kinds of things we can do in the legal system that can expedite justice and policy.
Breck.
Thanks. Well, in addition to what everybody else has said, which I'm in agreement with, one of the best ways I know from working around the world and improving infrastructure is to attract the folks that build the infrastructure, the people like Elon Musk, the people, you know, the Bronsons of the world, not this Bronson, but those folks will come, but they're not going to come if we've got the highest utility rates in the world. You know, they're not going to come if we don't have the workforce. But they will come if we give them enough incentives and we figure out how to get our utility rates down. You know, and that'll be one of my priorities, is bringing folks like Elon Musk up here. Thanks.
Thanks, Breck. Dave.
Well, public transportation is essential or critical to any thriving economy. That's why I'm supporting the Muldoon Transit Station project. That will be a community center, not just a transit center. That'll be an excellent thing for that part of town. Also, the downtown transit center, the main transit center, we're going through a process. I've made my selection. It can't be public yet, and I hope the assembly and others come on board and select that. That will make a big change in how we view downtown and the transportation downtown. And then also, I recently signed a modified methane gas agreement with Acluton Incorporated to bring 1,100 lots to Eagle River for development for the homes that we so desperately need.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to Addressing Alaskans on Alaska Public Media. Today's program is an Anchorage mayoral candidate forum presented by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's Make It Monday forums. And a quick note, there are several times that the audio feed drops out momentarily, but candidates did provide the Chamber of Commerce with written answers. We'll have links to those and the Chamber's full video on the Addressing Alaskans page.
With the possibility of introducing a sales tax in Anchorage, how do you plan to mitigate any potential impact on local businesses, residents, and visitors while still addressing the city's budgetary needs? Let's start with Suzanne.
Well, taxpayers aren't getting great bang for their buck right now. And so the first thing we have to do is do a better job of providing services for the money that taxpayers are paying. And we also need to think about what's the best way to invest in ourselves and what'll give us the best return. When it comes to a sales tax, it'll depend on how it's structured. And as mayor, I'll look very closely at any proposals going forward. It might contain a provision to property taxes, but we'll have to take a close look and make sure that the interests of the municipality and of the residents are taken into consideration. At the end of the day, it'll be up to the taxpayers to decide whether or not diversifying revenue may be the best way to get the most money out of the investment.
Thanks, Suzanne. Dustin.
The taxation, interesting subject. It has to do with your name. It has to do with your social. Now, this gets into the voting rolls and you being a registered voter. Now, what I have at my website, I made a real website. This isn't a Facebook page this time, which I still have as well. And you can and stuff. Me getting choked out, thrown on the ground, getting George Floyded, people getting sued. But anyways, you can go to my website, which is lawhelpak.com. That's it. But you got to write it in, not in the Google, because I'm not on that level yet. But I got on there a thing that you can fill out. About 10 seconds, 9 seconds. You can fill it out. You take this when you take your ballot in, you fill it in, you serve it to the person at the thing because that machine is crooked. Mike Lindsdale's friend told me about it. The machines are busted.
Bill.
So I don't support a sales tax. Our budget right now is over $500 million for the city, and the school budget just put in $900 million. With $1.4 billion this year, I don't think we need more taxes. I think what we need to do is reduce spending, consolidate new ways to do things. Right now, out of the propositions that we have, five of them raise the tax cap, and they should require 60%. And I'll bet you that our assembly is going to bless the election with just 50 plus one to pass them, and that's wrong. And I disagree with it. I think we should live within our limits.
Thanks, Bill. Dave?
The notion of a seasonal sales tax, I think, appeals to a lot of people. It's taxing other people. We first have to get our spending under control. We're spending about $600 million is a municipal budget. The school district budget's about $900 million. And we've got to look at where we spend our money. In the 3 years ending in the year 2022, we spent $161 million on homelessness in the city. Much of that was spent long before I got here. I ask you, did we solve the problem? Spending is the challenge. I could support a seasonal sales tax if it guaranteed dollar-for-dollar reduction in property tax.
Thanks, Dave. Chris?
Yes, it's going to be hard to ask people to reach back in their pockets when we're not as efficient as we should be. We need to be smarter about our investments, and we need to be smarter on the returns that we hope to get on those investments, and we need to be smarter on the public services that we are meant to deliver. And I can tell you that serving in Anchorage, serving in State House, we passed a fiscal plan, one of the first fiscal plans in the state history. And one of the things that we did is we made sure that we were efficient and we managed cuts before we started asking people to pay for more. And if anything, we save sales taxes for local areas. And if we can, just if we need to go in that direction, we just do a seasonal sales tax first.
Thanks, Chris. Bill.
So my very last project at Anchorage Economic Development Corporation was to do a working group between the board leadership of Visit Anchorage Downtown Partnership, Chugach Eagle River Chamber, Anchorage Chamber of Commerce, and the Girdwood business community, who looked at the idea of a sales tax. Out of that grew a proposal that's now being championed by the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation for a broader, more detailed discussion. It's being led by the business community. Some of the things that caught their attention: how would you like a 25% reduction on the property taxes on your house for a 2% sales tax? There are other benefits that can come from this. And a year-round sales tax with almost 20% of it being paid by people who don't live in Anchorage is a tax break for the citizens. And these are things that we should be having a long conversation about, at least a year's worth, before we take it to a vote.
Thanks, Bill. Jenny?
I just have to say, when I grow up, I hope I can speak to a crowd like Bill Pop. I believe if we collectively approved a sales tax, that only a summer seasonal sales tax would be appropriate to start. I think we need to ensure that that sales tax is addressing what true challenges and needs that our community has. At the same time, I would look to support opportunities for tax breaks and opportunities to support businesses who would support providing critical care like childcare and critical needs like housing. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. And Breck?
I don't support a sales tax. I'm with some of the other panelists here. I think we need a full accounting of where that $600 million is getting spent on top of the $900 million. That the school board's spending. It just seems like an astronomical amount of money. I think that we need to fully staff our civil servants at the Muni. The government's only as good as its civil servants. And it's, you know, there's just some, before we go out and start taxing people more, we need to figure out where the money's going. And that was my line. It's $170 million.
What's that?
For the homeless?
$161.
last 6 years. I mean, that's a lot of money. We could have bought a lot of houses for a lot of homeless people with $170 million.
Thanks, Breck. Next up, what is your plan to continue and improve essential municipal services to the community, such as snow removal, public transportation, and permitting, etc.? Let's start with Suzanne. Oh, I think I started with you last time, didn't I? That's okay. Do it again.
Well, we're all experiencing what understaffing at the municipality has done to the delivery of basic services in our community, whether that's snow removal or reduced public health services or longer times for permitting. It starts with the basics. It starts with, as mayor, I will employ and appoint competent individuals, and I will create a culture of respect and accountability, because it starts from the top. And that is how we'll be able to draw employees to the understaffed departments in our municipality. It also means that we need to have competitive wages and good working conditions, and consider having pensions as well for our municipal employees.
Thanks, Suzanne. Let's go to Breck.
Yeah, I actually agree with position on civil servants at the Muni. I think they should have pensions. I think that's the only way to keep the best and the brightest. And, you know, outperforming cities around the world have, you know, outstanding civil servants. So, you know, you build from the ground up.
Thanks, Breck. Let's go to Phil.
I think that we had a good plan to clear the streets. It's worked for years and years, but I think this year there is probably too much politics involved. If you sit up here and listen, you've already had a couple of digs at the mayor from the opposition because the streets aren't cleared. But I think if we left the street, the people that clear the streets to do the job, that they would do an excellent job, and we need to keep the politics out of the individuals.
Thanks, Phil. Let's go to Bill.
Really complex question for a 45-second answer. let's just try this. I'm going to go down the same path Suzanne did. It's all about the people. If you can't staff municipal departments, you can have the best laid plans in the world, the most lofty goals you could possibly talk about, and utterly fail because you don't have the people to do the work that needs to get done to accomplish those goals and get where you want to be. And so we do need to do a better job of improving morale within municipal departments. We do need to do a better job of attracting workers, and we need to compete for workforce here in Anchorage, across the state. And if we have to, we got to go out of state. We got to start bringing workers up here too to fill these positions if we can't find them locally. We've got to get our act together when it comes to workforce.
Thanks, Bill. Jenny.
Well, in addition to staffing, one thing that is really important to me is listening to the community, listening to boots on the ground. An article recently that described that our maintenance facilities might not be the same structure and the same breadth compared to the increase in roads from what we used to have. So I think looking at, you know, does our infrastructure, existing infrastructure, meet the needs? Does it provide efficiency? If not, how do we do that? How do we leverage funding? How do we leverage opportunities to increase efficiency? Because in addition to staffing, we also need the equipment and we need the facilities to ensure that we have efficient plowing and good maintenance.
Thanks, Jenny. Dave.
Well, for those who don't understand how snow plowing works in this city, the mayor, quite frankly, does not plow snow in this city. The mayor is ultimately responsible for everything. And a critique of the snow plowing in this city is, quite frankly, a criticism of those that do it. The director of snow plowing, Paul Van Lanningham, great guy, has been doing it 27 years. If in this summer he asks for more money, we give him more money. If he wants more employees, we give him more money. We are not understaffed in the snow plowing division. At the end of the day, it comes down to physics, and it was November 9th-ish. We were looking at 40 inches of very wet snow, which nobody can deal with, quite frankly, and the state couldn't. We had to help out the state in that. If there's anyone here who does not have a challenge fully staffing their businesses, please raise your hand, because I know of no one who does not have a problem staffing their positions, all their positions.
Thanks, Dave. Dustin.
The municipality for about 10 years, and it was written out of the budget by the current administration. It was approved by every single assembly person. Well, typically, you wait for the jobs to, you know, person die or they get fired or whatever. It's called attrition. But they wrote me out of the budget, you know, and I appreciate Dave's conservative nature of, you know, he's got so much money. You don't want to spend more money you have, and I agree with that. Put me in a kind of a hard spot. I was a little upset. But when you go through rough times, that's when God's hands come in, and he does miracles. Now I'm driving a school bus. I'm about to leave here, get my school bus, take everybody home from school. I love that. So when we have challenges, it's going to bring the strengths out of us. In the same way.
Thanks, Dustin. Chris.
Well, you have to have the ability to look and plan ahead, and you got to make sure you have strong teams to help you in coming up with contingency plans. I know from being a contractor that you can't take care of your customers unless you take care of your employees first. You can't take care of government services unless you take care your employees first. So letting everybody know what their role is and how they can participate and how important their role is. It takes a lot of inspiration too, because we got to make sure that we have those who have a heart for public service are able to be effective in their public service duties.
Thanks, Chris. How will you ensure transparency and accountability in city government? Let's start with Bill.
Well, these are fundamentals of gaining public trust. And so you've got to tell people what your metrics are, where you're headed, and then you got to report on them frequently. And you can't hide things or obfuscate. You've got to be straight up. And when you make mistakes and when you have screw-ups and when things don't work out the way that you thought they would and the public's upset, you got to own it. Because when you're mayor, it's all your fault. Doesn't matter if it's a state road or a city road or a federal whatever, it's your fault if it happens inside city limits. You get blamed for everything and you got to own it. And I think that that's the first and most fundamental thing that you have to do as mayor is step up, recognize you're leading with your chin every day and making clear to the public what the truth and the facts are.
Thanks, Bill. Jenny.
Well, I will certainly lead by example. I have abided by the ethical standards of the Association of Fundraising Professionals through my work at Food Bank of Alaska, which see and exactly how funds are raised and how funds are utilized. And I believe bringing that into the mayor's office and into the administration is important to know what is it that we need, how do we get those needs fulfilled, and how do we work with the community to ensure that we are meeting their expectations. Food Bank of Alaska was a Better Business Bureau Torch Award for Ethics representative and awardee, and I believe that represents my commitment to the highest ethical standards in our community. Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Breck.
I think being transparent, honest, and forthright is basically fundamental to being a mayor, especially in this city. I think one of the reasons I'm running, and I think a number of the other folks on this panel are running, is because we're not seeing that in the current administration. And we're seeing a lot of conflict between the mayor's office and the assembly and a lot of what appears to be backdoor kind of dealing. You know, it's not acceptable. And that's part of the reason I'm running. I think, you know, I can do a much better job of, you know, running the mayor's office, you know, a lot more honestly. Thank you.
Thank you, Breck. Chris.
Well, for, you know, throughout and make sure that community efforts succeed. And to do that, you got to make sure you have a fair process. Because with a fair process, even though if you don't get your way, at least you can say it was a fair process. And a lot of that has to do with transparency and people relying on the process as they move their issues forward. You can't get anything done without building relationships. I think that's going to be key. And then you have to have respect, not only respect for one another and their ideas and their aspirations and their beliefs, but also respect for the institution. Because if we maintain the respect for the institution, then we make sure that we have a fair process. And then we know that we can move Anchorage forward in a way that that's very noble.
Thanks, Chris. Dave.
Well, transparency we can do through various programs. One that I supported was the online checkbook. That's very important. So you get to see firsthand online where and how we spend our money. The other thing is through my office, we dramatically robusted our public communication through our newsletter and through the and through our website. One of the things you can do on our website is find out which roads, we put an online interactive map, which roads are state and which roads are city. And Bill, it actually does matter if it's a city. Yes, the mayor is responsible, but I'm not allowed legally to plow state roads without permission. And most of the major roads in this city are state-owned roads. You got to understand those kinds of things when you sit in this seat.
Thanks, Dave. Dustin.
The ultimate force multiplier is partnership. Now, this is my last question I'm going to take, so I'm going to fast forward to the end. I'm going to throw a Holy Ghost softball to my brother, Dave Bronson. I'm going to ask you the question of what can we do as a community? What does this community need in regards to prayer to help you lead the city for the portion of time that you're in if you wind up going on? What prayer needs could Anchorage use?
We're just going to stick to these questions. So if you could just answer this question that we gave you.
Yeah, typically they ask, you have to ask one question. So I did that. And with that, it's that we love one another. And if you need security guards in the meeting, is that meeting really legitimate?
All right. Thanks, Dustin. Next we'll go to Suzanne.
Over the past few years, we've seen how scandals and lawsuits and misinformation have eroded public trust. We've got to put an end to that. And also, when we talk about spending our money better, we need to ensure that we're staffing up our departments instead of wasting money on costly last-minute contracts. As mayor, I am committed to ensuring that public documents are made available to the public. And I think the Open Checkbook Act is a very important piece of legislation we need to enact. I also believe it's very important to ensure that the mayor's office is open to the media and that the public has that view of the goings on in our local government. And finally, as mayor, I'll reach out to different groups in our community and invite them in to the mayor's office to ensure that they have access to our local government.
Thanks, Suzanne. And Phil.
I think that actions speak louder than words. And sometimes when I review the actions of people and I read the words that they put out there, they really disagree. It might be nice that if we sit back and recorded all the working meetings that we have in the city and made them available for people. I think maybe then if they knew they were being recorded, that they would talk less and think more. And we really need them to think about things before they say them. And it's important that we do what we say we're going to do instead of just can tell you we're doing a good job.
Thanks, Phil. How will you address increasing business costs for security and property damage as a result of criminal activity? Let's start with Phil, actually.
So I think one of the biggest things we could do is put the homeless to work. I was here and paid state income tax way before we had oil money. And one of the things that I think about here is, why do we have a problem with the homeless now, which probably increases the crime rate and vandalism? And why didn't we have, well, before the oil money, the churches, the fraternal organizations and the businesses took care of the homeless, and there was no incentive to be homeless. But if you give all the homeless people a job and put them to work, it's amazing how much a full-time job takes out of your day. You have less crime.
Thanks, Phil. Let's go with Dave.
Well, the context of the question is homelessness and the visible homeless, especially on our streets. If instantaneously we took all the visible homeless off the streets, you would think we solved the problem. That's about 500, 550 people. That wouldn't dent the problem. We're dealing with about 3,700 homeless on the street. So the problem is the visible homeless, the people that misbehave on the street. Many of them are not capable of working. Okay, we wish we could enforce what we call our local municipal code. We are prevented from doing that by federal law in a case called Martin versus Boise. That's why recently I filed an amicus brief with the Supreme Court to get relief from Martin versus Boise so we can actually enforce the municipal codes we have to prevent this bad behavior on our streets.
Thanks, Dave. Suzanne.
Public safety is the number one job of and we need to start by staffing up our police department, which is down on sworn staff, 50 officers. We also need to continue to invest in our crisis response, like the mobile intervention mobile crisis need team. And we need to get mode when it comes to homelessness. Our current approach isn't working, and that cost is falling to taxpayers, and especially our local businesses who are in that position of having to respond. We're a winter city. We have to have a place for people to go. We've got to have shelter. And at the same time, we've got to have that ladder up, that elevator out of homelessness so people can access those services they need. And as mayor, I will convene. We will coalesce around a plan to address homelessness.
Thanks, Suzanne. Bill.
You know, being homeless is not a crime, and you are not a criminal for being homeless. The challenges come with bad behavior that result from the homeless, from a portion of the homeless population and those who prey upon them. You know, I think absolutely we need to get our police department staffed up. Absolutely we need to have consequences for the petty crimes that are driving businesses and property owners nuts. It's just happening all the time, and it doesn't feel like there's any real consequences for that. And that's a conversation we need to have with the community in terms of, do we want to take up the idea that was proposed by former Mayor Sullivan to reestablish municipal court as a clearinghouse for those who are committing criminal behavior in property crimes and misdemeanor crimes. There are things that we need to do. There are conversations we need to have, but want us to walk out of this room thinking that every homeless criminal.
Phil.
Thanks, Bill. Breck.
Well, I'm a Midtown boy. I live a couple blocks, my wife and I, from one of the Fred Meyers. The Fred Meyers is said to close one of its two entrances. I've lost count of the number of times I've seen a shoplifter run out of the store, walk out of the store with a bag of groceries. When I ask the security guards why they can't stop them, they're not allowed to touch them or they'll be fired. And every business owner I've talked to in the last 2 months says the same thing. It's shoplifting is just out of control. So whatever we need to do, and I understand what the mayor said about at the federal level, that's prevented a lot of us from a lot of shoplifters from being arrested. We've got to figure something out because it's not working and it's really impacting our ability to conduct business.
Thank you, Breck. Chris.
We all know the homeless situation is going to be solving a lot of problems if we can do that. It's taken up a lot of our public safety resources. We're already understaffed and overburdened with our public safety. We got to make sure that we reduce recidivism. One of the ways that we do that is we got to have drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers here, because those who end up in the back of a cop car or go to the hospital or go to the family and says, I need help, you have a small window of opportunity of getting them help. If you don't get them help right then and there, they're going to be jonesing for their next fix, and they're going to commit whatever crimes and do whatever is necessary to get that next fixed. And so that's the one key component that we're missing right now. We spent $160 million over the last 3 years on homelessness. We could at least get facilities off the ground and established so that we can reduce how much crime we have and take care of the
Thanks,
homeless.
Chris. And Jenny.
Well, you might not know that before the pandemic, 6 in 10 Americans were just 2 paychecks away from needing social services. And of course, everything we've seen through the pandemic has just driven families to the brink. And there's a direct correlation between levels of poverty and lack of access to basic resources and to education. So again, I think that providing adequate, accessible, appropriate childcare and looking at opportunities to increase our housing is only going to directly alleviate the poverty that is faced by our community. Together, when we provide these resources, we will lift our community up, and we will then allow us and our time and our resources to look at really broadening the opportunities for Anchorage, both statewide, across the country, and globally.
Thanks, Jenny. Next up, what strategies do you propose to incentivize local businesses to invest in education-related incentives, such as funding scholarships, sponsoring mentorship programs, fostering continuing education for existing employees, or providing internships for students, thereby strengthening the educational ecosystem in Anchorage? Why did I write such a long question? education, how do you plan to incentivize local businesses to invest in education? That's really what that question comes down to. Let's start with Breck.
Tax breaks and grants immediately come to mind. I know in the IT consulting field that I'm in, we take a lot of interns from the university system, and that is a great opportunity for them. But I know for a lot of small businesses who can't attract interns, I think offering tax breaks and other incentives that are meaningful for them that help subsidize them, you know, bringing folks like kids in that are, you know, coming in from the education field is important.
Thanks, Breck. Phil?
That's kind of a tough question, especially for 45 seconds, but I would like to see the trade fields work with the high schools so you could take kids that were in high school and move them into a trade when they felt they didn't want to go to college. I think that would be the best way to do it. Every time the school district or somebody tries it, there's a blocking point there between the trade union and when you get out of school. But if you integrated them into the trade union, then they would take care of them. It would also be good to set up intern programships where you had college students and high school students working in businesses that they could learn the stay here after they've finished up.
Thanks, Bill. Chris.
Can you repeat the question just one more time, just to make sure I get it right?
What strategies do you propose to incentivize local businesses to invest in education-related initiatives?
Well, I think, as was mentioned before, incentives, tax breaks, grants, that's going to help. But I do think that the school and to business partnerships will be a helpful hand as well. Apprenticeship programs, internships, that's all going to participate in that. But how do we get businesses to invest in that? Really comes down to the grants and the tax breaks.
Thanks, Chris. Jenny.
How many people in this room donate their time, money, or resources to community organizations? So I would like to take the approach of renewing a sense of community and an investment in civic engagement that is reflective of a commitment of time, talent, and financial resources. There is power in collective effort. I have seen this firsthand over the last 18 years. Small actions and commitments by individuals and businesses really showcase their impact. And we see that as a return on investment from a pipeline of students who have relationships with local businesses, our university system, union jobs, the nonprofit sector, and the municipality. Will spur growth and strengthen our tax base and keep more Alaskans in Alaska.
Thanks, Jenny. Dave.
About a year and a half ago, Sven Gustafson from the school district came over and he presented an idea that they were entertaining. It was called the Academies. And instantly, my staff and I saw the value of that program that's within the school district. Is what it does is it challenges young kids into something that they want to do, and that's hopefully trades. Because at the end of the day, we need more tradesmen and women. We need more carpenters, plumbers, and electricians. We desperately need them to build the houses that we need. We support that. Most of my departments are actively supporting that through mentorship programs and even financial support. That's a great path forward. Not to mention the grant notion. We need to ask our oil patch partners to come in like they traditionally have and provide those grants that we can also use.
Thanks, Dave. Suzanne.
It starts with funding our schools. Over the years, we've seen the effects of underfunding as educators and families leave our community in search of places that have stronger schools. And as mayor, I'll be an advocate and work with ASD and other stakeholders to promote our schools and ensure funding. What can businesses do? There are opportunities through the Academy program, through partnerships with the university. And as mayor, I'll convene educators and members of the business community so we can look at specific strategies and policy initiatives that can help promote that partnership between those sectors.
Thanks, Suzanne. And Bill?
Well, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel because the Academies program is going to do pretty much everything that's been mentioned up at this table. The Academies program, which I've been a part of since its early days over 2 years ago, is going to be a game changer for our high schools to get our kids college ready, career ready, and life ready. It will give them the decision-making skills to be able to choose the path they want to choose, whether it is a college path, but doing it intelligently, or if it's a vocational path. And it will graduate our graduating classes with hundreds, if not thousands, of industry certifications that will make them immediately employable. The school district already has the game plan together. They've already convened the business community. The business community needs to invest their time and effort in this and money if possible, but this is how you get to the hundreds of candidates to fill.
Thanks, Bill. Awesome. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you to our candidates who came and had a good time with us. Thank you to all our audience. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us today. We just heard an Anchorage Mayoral Candidate Forum presented by the Anchorage Chamber of Commerce's Make It Monday forums. We'll have links to the candidate answers and full video on the Addressing Alaskans page. And that's all the time we have for you today. Find us on the web at alaskapublic.org, the Alaska Public Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ammon Swenson. Thanks for listening.
Addressing Alaskans is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Theme music is by Patrick Lee. The views expressed are those of the hosts and participants and do not reflect KSKA or its underwriters. To let us know about an upcoming community event that you would like to hear on Addressing Alaskans, go to our website at alaskapublic.org and click on Contact Us at the bottom of the page.
Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.